If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? Today's episode, we answered live callers' questions. People called in. We got to coach them on air. But this was after an intro portion. Today was 51 minutes long. Now, the intro, we talk about fitness, current events, family life, a lot of fun stuff. By the way, if you want to be on an episode like this, call in, have us help you out. Email us at live@mindpumpmedia.com. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Ned. Today, we talked about Ned's product, Mellow. There's different forms of magnesium in Mellow, so you get the most absorbable forms. By the way, magnesium deficiencies strike about 40% of people, and the side effects or the effects of magnesium deficiencies are insomnia, anxiety, and depression. So if you feel those things and suspect it might be a magnesium deficiency, maybe you're one of those 40%, take Mellow. You'll know within 30 minutes if it works for you. Go check them out. Go to helloned.com. That's helloned.com/mindpump. Use the code MINDPUMP, get 20% off. This episode is also brought to you by NASM. This is the premier national certification for personal trainers and coaches. They are the gold standard, period, end of story, the best in the world. And if you go through our link, you'll get $150 off any CPT package, $150 off. So go to NASMPT.com, use the code MPM150 for that discount. We also have a program sale this month, one of our most popular workout programs, MAPS Muscle Mommy, 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code OCTOBER50. So that's October and 50 for that discount. All right, back to the show.
T-shirt time! And it's T-shirt time.
Ah, shit, Doug. You know it's my favorite time of the week.
Four winners this week. Two for Apple Podcasts, two for Facebook. The Apple Podcast winners are Herd 2014 and Small Steps with Skyler. And for Facebook, we have Jeff Gamble and Victor Torres CPT. All four of you are winners. Send the name I just read to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get that shirt right out to you.
All right, look, you've tried everything to get your arms to grow, but it's just not working. We got something for you. We're going to talk about three things you could do that will get your arms bigger in 30 days. It's going to work. You guys want to guess what they are?
Are we going to do lifting weights? Exercise variables or other variables?
Other variables. There's some exercise stuff in there as well. But these are things that I think, and I know I'm pretty sure you guys agree with me, that if the average person who trains implemented, they would notice a significant difference in their arm size. Probably about a quarter of an inch in 30 days, maybe even more for some people.
So I would guess the first one has to be something related to the frequency.
Yeah.
How often you're doing it.
Yeah. So this one's huge. And this one, when I would apply this to myself and to my clients, regardless of the body part, they would always see some kind of result. So essentially this is what it is, right? So take your total sets per week that you do for your arms and do them over three or four workouts. In other words, rather than doing them all in one workout or two workouts, split them up so that you're training more frequently or train the body parts more frequently, but the total set volume is exactly the same. Now, this doesn't mean the total volume is the same. So here's where it gets kind of weird, right? If you did, let's say, nine sets for your biceps on Monday, you're significantly weaker by, you know, halfway through the workout. Yeah. By the time you're done with set number five, you're not lifting as much weight for set six, seven, eight, and nine.
You're still overdoing it.
But if you did nine sets over three workouts, three sets on Monday, three sets on Wednesday, three sets on Friday, even if the exercises were the same, although I'll make a different argument there, but even if the exercises were the same, you're probably going to be a little stronger. So what you've done essentially is slowly, gradually, very easily added volume to your training without adding sets, without even adding exercises. So people do that, they just get more growth. Now, the other part of it is when you're only doing three sets for biceps, you tend to do the most effective exercises. So you tend to avoid all the stuff that you do towards the end of your workout. So it's just more effective. Yeah.
That's a common pitfall, though, too, where most people just add it into their current workout routine and thinking that, like, you know, just adding more exercise based on arms is going to move the needle when it's just too much volume.
So I'm back to training consistently right now. So I was actually thinking about this the other day about how we program and we split things up like this over the course of 3 days, hitting a muscle group like this versus hammering it one day. And obviously the frequency, one of the things too, I think it's important to address the the spike that you get.
Yeah, muscle protein synthesis spike that comes from a workout lasts about 24 to 48, maybe 72 hours. And then it starts to drop off and then go back.
And it looks like a bell curve, right? Yeah. So it's like you hit that hard exercise, it shoots up.
Yep.
And then it probably peaks around 24 hours or so. Yep. And then it starts to work its way back down. Right. And then by 72 hours, it's all the way back down.
Right. That's right.
And so by basically doing it three times a week, virtually every other day, you're pretty much right as that's starting to come back down, you're hitting again. You're
keeping that positive protein synthesis signal is what you're doing there. And now the harder the workout, the bigger the stimulus tends to be, but at some point you start to get negative results because of the ability to recover or adapt. So people will make the argument and say, well, you could do a greater protein synthesis signal with a harder workout. And that's to a certain point. And what ends up happening now is your recovery takes precedent. And so your muscle building signal drops, but you're still recovering. People think because you're recovering, you're growing. You're not. Adaptation recovery, although there's some crossover, are not the same thing. So once a week means you get the spike, then it comes down, then it probably goes below baseline for a few days.
So, okay, mm-hmm. that was my next question to setting this up was that, you know, paying attention to how sore I am. And that would be the argument I think someone would make. It'd be like, oh, well, I'll just train harder. Problem with that is like when you hammer any muscle group for that matter, but we're talking about arms right now, and you're sore for 5-6 days later, yeah. like sore to the touch still. Like at what point is there diminishing return on how hard you train? And mm-hmm. so breaking it up with the same amount of sets just over 3 days, not only I think gives you a better workout for each one of them, meaning that you're able to lift more weight and that, so that progressively overloads it, but then also doesn't go too beyond and make you so sore that your body's just trying to recover. So I don't know. No matter how you draw it up, I don't see. I guess the only place it makes sense is the pro bodybuilder who's on so much anabolic steroids and steroids for recovery and things that basically allow them to get away with that consistent overreaching. Where the average person, this becomes paramount.
It's not just that when these guys take these anabolic hormones, they have a very loud anabolic chemical signal, hormone signal. On top of that, they have incredible genetics. So when you look at these top level bodybuilders, their protein synthesis is positive for longer than the average person. So when I work out or somebody else works out, average person, it might spike 24 hours, start to drop about 48 hours, 72
they're like
hours.
This, right?
Theirs stays up longer. They just build muscle easier. So it's got those genetics. Then you add anabolics on top of it. Well, yeah, you can hammer a body part once a week and not really worry about it. This is why, in my experience, training natural people, full body 3-day-a-week routines were superior to body part splits where they're doing one body part a day. You know, the total set volume being equated roughly the same, they just did much better. And there's more reasons that we can make this point with, but I think for arms in particular, like if you're working your biceps and triceps once a week, you're doing 12 sets for biceps, 12 sets for triceps, divide it up over 3 workouts. Like mm-hmm. watch what happens. That alone, most people will see gains just from doing that alone.
Yeah, and then I thought you were going to bring up first thing, the compound lifts being the biggest mover of the needle. It's just like anything else we've found with muscle groups. It's like if we can get the loudest signal possible, you know, you're going to have the most return for that.
Yeah, for some reason, in triceps, this is somewhat accepted, right? Like people will say, oh, the best muscle builder for triceps, and people will name some compound exercises like dips or close grip bench press. But biceps, nobody considers compound lift, even though it's like, why? It's on your arm too. It flexes the elbow.
Right.
Like try doing curl grip pull-ups where you're using the biceps as much as you can, right? Where you're kind of rounding forward using the biceps. That is a mass building bicep exercise that people just, they think your chin up is just the back exercise. You can do it in a way to where it's a lot of bicep. And it will put more tension and activate more muscle fibers in the biceps because it's activating more muscle groups in general.
Why do you think that is? I actually never thought about what you just said. We have, it's pretty widely accepted. If you ask most people, hey, what's the best mass builder for your triceps? They're going to respond with one of those two answers. Close grip bench press or dips is widely accepted as the best arm builder or tricep.
For some reason,
builder.
Bicep.
But why nobody says that for biceps? I've never thought about that.
I think for triceps, people experimented with technique to make it hit the triceps more. So you get close grip versus traditional. I think with a chin up, it was always a back exercise, and nobody ever taught it in a way to where, because you could do it and hit more back, right? You could lead with your chest high, lean back, squeeze the lats. Or you ever watch an arm wrestler do a chin up? Arm wrestlers do this. They'll curl their forearm and their biceps, and they pull with kind of this rounded shoulder because they're trying to get their arms real strong. That's a bicep chin up. You still use some back,
but
try what I'm saying and see how you feel it in your biceps. I mean, you'll do four reps and they'll light your biceps
up. Yeah, that recruitment sequence is heavily focused on your biceps doing carrying the load.
Yes.
A great way to regress that, to teach that too, is to just do it on a lat pull down with lighter weight, so they can get the understanding, the technique of the kind of rounding foot. Because it goes against everything we teach for pull ups.
It looks like a terrible pull down or a terrible pull up.
Yes. Yeah. And so,
you know, with bad form, but
that's why it's important to explain that, right? If you go into it and you do a lat pull down like you're taught to do a lat pull down, you're not going to get the same effect from it as if you do this different. So I would teach it sitting down in a lat pull down, where I can teach the posture, the form, in order to work the biceps and then progress them to a body weight. Because a lot of people might not even be able to do that. You have to have, you got to be pretty strong to pull your body weight.
A lot of people can't even do a traditional, chin up. It's hard, let alone one that emphasizes the arms. You know, it makes it really difficult. But like I said, if you watch arm wrestlers do chin ups, and some of them will do it with one arm, you see it's like an arm chin up, and it's a crazy bicep.
I love it too, because you put it in a stretch position that you just don't normally do. There's very few exercises outside of that in the gym where you're
real
gonna,
crazy full extension.
Yeah, where you're going to be in a full extension like that.
It's not just that, the tension is high throughout the whole rep.
Yeah,
the tension's high up at the top, in the middle, all the way down. Like it is.
You can't hide from it. Yeah,
there's no like gravity with a barbell curl. You know, the tension's kind of mid rep. The bottom part of the rep isn't as heavy because you're not directly pushing gravity. And at the top, same thing. You're doing a curl grip chin up. I mean, it is the whole way, it's hard. So it's a gnarly bicep compound lift. And then dips for triceps or close grip bench press. Like, especially if you train, like we said, where you're doing the body parts 3 days a week. Well, now you can do these compound lifts more often. Whereas you do it all in one workout, you're not doing a bunch of compound lifts for 9 sets. You're doing maybe one, and then the rest are all these isolation.
Okay. All right. Exercise. Let's hear the third one. What's the third one?
Occlusion training. Occlusion training. So it's a really nifty little trick to add size to a body part. This is a pretty crazy, I mean, it really does work. And if you added, let's say, a couple sets per week to your workout with just occlusion, you'll see noticeable size on this. I experimented. I know you did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it legit works.
I remember when we first heard about it, it was like, We dove all into it to see if it was legit or not. And it's just like one of those things, not a lot of people talk about it because it's unique, and it has its place in terms, especially with rehab, totally. But like for muscle building, it's a valid way to train.
Now explain to like, okay, so it's basically you are getting the benefits of the sarcoplasmic hypertrophy, right? That's what's happening is because that's one of the signals for growth, is that you are volumizing.
Cell swelling.
It's swelling up, right? And then it's volumizing, it's getting bigger so that you can do that again. And that's probably the most extreme version of that.
That's part of it. The other part of it is you're essentially starving the muscle of the nutrients it needs to continue to perform. And so what it does is it recruits more and more of these fast switch muscle fibers. So you get this crazy recruitment of muscle fibers with very light weight. So for people that don't know, if I just do this on my arms, I would take knee wraps and I'd wrap them around the top of my arm tight enough to where I could feel like it's occluding, like it's preventing, you know, blood flow from coming out of the bicep. Now you don't want to be so tight that your arms go numb,
right?
But it's relatively tight. Then you go and you grab some dumbbells and you do some curls. And what you'll find is you'll do some curls, you put the dumbbells down, wait 30 seconds, try it again. And it just burns like nothing burns like it occlusion training. It's crazy. It's crazy fire.
It's a burn.
And the pump is so intense. It's crazy. Like you'll never experience a pump in your arms like you will with it, because it literally is trapping the blood in the bicep. But a few sets of this and light dumbbells, by the way, if you curl 30 pound dumbbells, you do this with 10.
That's the benefit, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't have to load barely anything and you're going to get a great workout from that.
Well, this is the origin of this, right? I believe it was hockey players. I want to say it was the first pro athletes that they were utilizing this for.
It was
for rehab.
Yeah. There was a Japanese, I think it was a scientist, who noticed that when he would kneel often, his calves would get really pumped. And they seem to grow. So we started doing some studies on this, and it's an old, I mean, this originated, I think, in the 70s, maybe Doug could look it up. And so that's where the initial science came from. And then they found value with rehab because if you have a hurt knee and I want to build my quad muscles, I can't use much resistance. Yeah. But if I clued my leg, I don't need much resistance to cause a similar muscle.
Any limited range of motion.
1966, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Dr. Yoshiaki Sato.
Now, does it say what he originally? Because I thought I read that it was hockey players at first were the ones to maybe the first ones to adopt it after he did it.
Yeah.
But I mean, once I learned about what a great, such a great tool for trainers to use and understand.
Oh yeah,
for real. So I went down the rabbit hole once I experimented with it. Absolutely loved it. In fact, you could go back on Mind Pump TV and you can see a video of Sal and I when we were 15, putting a video together.
Just young skin.
So you could see a video of us actually teaching this way back when. I mean, I almost became obsessed with it. I was doing it all the time. I was trying different body parts. Where I saw negative returns on it when I started to completely replace some of my traditional strength training.
No. You do it as a little addition.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. It's even a decent temporary supplementation, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even like...
if you're in a hotel room, you just have bands.
Yeah. Let's say it's a week. I'm out of town or something like that. And I don't have a bunch of weights, something like that. Like occluding your arms, your calves, your legs, and doing a little... In fact, what a great way to... You know, get a quick 5-minute workout while you're traveling, and it's enough of a signal that it's going to keep you from for sure losing. You may not make huge gains on it, but it's gonna keep.
Yeah. So if you did the three steps, right, you tripled the frequency, same sets you're doing now, but triple the frequency. You added a compound lift each workout, and you did maybe one set of occlusion for biceps and triceps on one of those days, or two sets. You're going to get bigger. You'll have bigger arms by the end. And as long as you feed yourself, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Losing a calorie deficit is not going to work very well.
Need to build materials.
Yeah. Dude, I got to tell you guys, we had some friends from church over yesterday, and they all have little kids, but they're little girls. So it's a bunch. We had my son, who's, you know, almost four. And then you had three, four, five little girls ranging between one to like maybe five or 4.5, 5 years old. Just a bunch of kids, right? And the parents are there and we're having a good time hanging out. And at some point, I'm looking around I'm like, it's quiet. What's going on? Now, when you have kids and it's quiet, it usually means you get worried immediately. So I go and look and I find them. They're in the courtyard and they're just organized. They're playing peacefully, cooperating. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is way different than when my brother brings his sons over. You know what I mean? It's like turmoil and tornadoes.
So it really does good with the girls. So if they're like a milder manner, he comes down to their level. Oh, that's good.
But little girls are so, I mean, you should see them like organizing. Okay, you do this. Oh. I'll do that. You grab this. You put this over there. I'm like, this is like when my cousin and my brother brings their boys over, like we can't take our eyes off them for 10 seconds.
Just chaos.
Or it's going to be
war.
Yes, or something. Someone's going to break an arm or something.
Courtney and I are tripping because we were at jiu-jitsu watching Everett do his thing, and this lady brought a little girl in, and she was like, you know, like 4 or something, or maybe 5, but was just sitting there and entertaining herself, playing with these little blocks. And then her mom's like, you know, I have to step out for this phone call. Can you make sure, you know, she's like, we're like, oh yeah, no problem. And she steps out and the little girl just keeps playing and all this, kind of gets up, looks around, sits back down, does it. I'm like, no way. Like, she's just totally self-sufficient. I'm like, I've never seen this. That's like, girls are so different.
Yeah. Max can be like that. Max is so chill like that. He's sick right now. He threw up last night.
Oh no.
It's like, I tell you guys, it's so funny when he does that, because he's like,
does he have a fever or just stomach virus?
He had a small one. He had 99, so it's not a bad. Normally when it starts hitting over 100, we start to get a little worried, like that's gonna be bad. It's been, you know, these kids, like,
bug that sucks.
Yeah, you know how it is. School's back and going, and so it's like they catch something like every freaking week.
Kids get a fever of 100, 101, you can't even tell half the time.
Yeah.
You know, I get 101 fever, I'm dead.
Oh, I got to tell him to calm down. I'm like, dude, you're sick right now. He's still wanting to play and wrestle and do stuff. I'm like, Max, you got to calm down, buddy. So.
Yeah. What's the highest fever? You guys remember the highest fever you ever had as a kid? Did your mom ever tell you stories?
Ooh. I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. I had to take like one of those like cold baths.
So did I.
Yeah.
They actually put me in an ice bath.
Yeah.
Did that to you too?
Yeah. My family's done that before.
I think I was 105 or something crazy, like some ridiculous number. The doctor's like, yeah, put him in a bath with ice right now.
That's not good.
Because he's gonna
melt his brain.
As an adult,
that's
when I was in Thailand with food poisoning, I got up to 104 as an adult.
Ugh.
Now that, yeah. I was hallucinating.
You feel that?
No, I was hallucinating. Oh, I was in bed. It was crazy. I was in bed, and it looked like there were like,
bro, what a horrible experience. Ugh. When you're traveling too. That has to be like one of the worst places to ever get.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so terrible. Because remember, I remember the whole story. I got cocky because I went with Jessica when we first started dating. So she got me to do all kinds of crazy shit. and so we're in Bangkok, right? And I'm eating street food. And I'm like, I'm trying to be courageous.
That's all you got to say.
Listen, right, I didn't get sick from it. So I got cocky. No, Bangkok, street food, totally fine. So I'm like, oh, I don't need to worry about anything. We go to the resort in Thailand. And it was a nice resort, too. Nice resort. They served me a drink, but it had a sliced banana, and the skin of the banana was in the drink. That's what I figured got it.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Drank the drink, went to bed, and a few hours later, it was like, oh, no, this is good. Remember I told you guys she had to get out. She had to leave the hotel room, hitch a ride to find, like, a doctor that would come to the room.
Sure it wasn't the monkey feeding you, like, pieces?
No, I didn't do that. Oh, okay. I didn't pay for that, Justin.
Hey, so you got to tell you have to tell the audience that you've got these goggles on right now. I'm so excited. I ran
my buddy Holly's.
I bought a pair right away because I can't wait to play with them.
Yeah, they got cameras in them, so I'm just kind of playing around. I actually got these because I'm going to this crazy metal festival, and I'm like, I don't want to be the guy that goes to the concert that's like, because like all my favorite bands are going to be there, and I'm like, I just want to like not be an asshole about it and capture like good songs or like be in the mosh pit and like not have to like, you know, be the influencer guy, you know.
So it records.
It records, like, and then I'm wearing them just to kind of get used to them, and I am liking them more and more, where like just because of all the features I didn't realize, like I can listen to music. I was like washing dishes and like loud, and nobody could hear that I'm listening to music.
Wait, it plays music how through your skull?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it goes through like your, I don't really know what that bone is called, but yeah, through that, like,
wait a minute, it plays music, process. You record, and then what else? Probably take phone calls.
Takes phone calls.
Oh, you can actually take calls from it too.
Yeah, and you can set it up with the Meta AI, so I could actually like say, hey, what am I looking at right now? And so I could actually hold something, like say it's, I don't know, whatever, some like exotic fruit, and it could tell me exactly what it is. And it's weird. I haven't really played around with that much yet.
So if you look at one of us and you say that, will it say, what would it say?
Mildly influential fitness people. I think they're cool. Mildly. I don't know.
Real mild.
Ethnic man.
Pretty decent, like YouTube famous guys.
Dude, I'm so.
That's so weird.
I'm so failing at the influencer thing, dude. I can't tell you how much I can't. You guys really fucking owe me after this one.
Why?
I hate it.
You jumped right in.
I just can't stand it, dude. It's just not. And I get that there's a whole bunch of people that. They make a living doing this, and they love to do that.
It's an all day thing.
Yes,
every day,
constantly. And I continually fall short. Like I just forgot to record that meal. forgot to tell, you know what I'm saying? It's just, and my mind is completely focused on that right now. I'm like really trying to make a conscious effort to loop the YouTube audience in with the Instagram, and so that at all times you know what I'm eating, what I'm doing training wise, so people can follow the whole process. And it's just a lot.
Think about the mindset that someone has who likes doing that.
You want the attention.
Validation.
I think
it's constant validation.
You love and are addicted to the...
Because you don't need constant validation. Like, imagine somebody...
Well, not you guys either, but...
Think about somebody who's like, okay, like, I can't be with myself. I need people to like everything I'm doing all the time. That's constant validation.
Yeah.
That's why. That's the only reason why you like it. Yeah. I don't see any other reason.
Yeah. I mean, the other part would be the people that justify it because they make a living through just that.
There's so many other ways to make a living. Like, look at you right now. Are you going to keep doing this, Adam?
No. That's the part that, I mean.
Counting the days. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, totally. And I think that's the part that I do for our audience because I'm getting lots of positive feedback, right? A lot of people is, oh my God, this is the content we've been waiting for. I said, well, enjoy while it lasts, because I'm fucking out of here in 2 months. So just so you know, it's not going to be a thing I'm doing all the time. You know, it's just not, I don't know. It's not sustainable. I don't think it's healthy. I think it's great. It's valuable. I think our audience that is paying attention, I think the feedback I'm getting is they really, really enjoy. And I wasn't sure if it was going to create enough good organic content, I'm like, man, I'm only doing like MAPS 15, two exercises. Oh, it's like, this is,
yeah, but you go through your trainer and your coach, yeah, you understand how to
your explanations of everything. Yeah. I think that's what people don't get enough of in their opinion, right? It's like you're really thoroughly explaining your rationale and your reasoning behind it.
Yeah. And Dylan's idea of the way doing this kind of like, I don't, what do you call that? Is that third person where it's like, I'm talking, like I'm not talking of my, I'm like you're peering into my thoughts almost, right?
Got it.
So what would that be considered? What version
wall?
Is that? I
don't know. Yeah, breaking the fourth wall.
Is that what that would be considered? So, yeah. So it's kind of like that perspective, right? Where it's like, I'm not really community, which I really enjoy that though, is like the stuff that we've done in the past where we shoot like a YouTube video where it's like, okay, teach this, you know, teach the occlusion or two. And then we have to like talk to the camera, pretend like there's a million people. I don't do so well with this. Where this, the guys are just kind of floating around doing their own thing, and I'm really actually being hyper present into the workout.
Oh, okay.
And I'm actually just expressing my thoughts as I'm like, oh, I need to do this, and like, and so I'm not even ever really addressing the camera.
Got it.
I'm just talking,
just like inner dialogue that's coming.
Yeah,
out.
And so that part, I don't mind that, and it's not as torturous to me as the regular YouTube videos where
it doesn't feel fake, maybe, or as fake.
It doesn't feel fake at all. It literally feels like, you know, I just tell Dylan like, hey, I'm gonna work out in about 15 minutes, they go get all set up, and then he clips the mic on, I forget about it that it's even there, and then I go through my thought, and I don't really prep a lot of what I'm gonna do. I kind of on the fly decide like, what am I gonna do today? How do I feel? What do I need to do? How's everything going? Like, oh, what's the program call for? Oh, I'm gonna modify this, and so it's.
How's the result so far? What week are we in?
Well, this is gonna be the fourth week.
Oh, you're in fourth week.
So
you look different.
So I'm looking.
I can see you look different.
I'm weighing in at 209 right now. It's 10 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. That's 10 pounds. Not trying to really put on aggressively. I've been just slowly kind of increasing the calories.
I wonder when are you going to do your first body fat?
So I just was, right before we got on the podcast, I was looking to schedule the thing. I'd like to get it done this coming week.
How interesting would it be that you actually gained more lean body mass than that because you lost some fat?
Yeah, it's going to be wild. So it's like, I hate to speculate.
Yeah, because, I was going to say.
Because I know it's going to like, if it doesn't come out, because here's what, I mean, I keep telling the audience that, you know, listen, I don't care how long I've been doing this, how confident I feel, all these things like that. Many times I go and I test and I realize, oh shit, I'm not on the perfect path. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously I'm making progress. Like, I don't think I'm going to go get it and it's going to be like, oh, you're fatter and you know,
you lost muscle.
Yeah. I don't think I lost muscle and put body fat on over the last, you know, month. But, you know, it also can be very discouraging if I only lost a half a percent, you know, or quarter percent of body fat, and maybe I only put on 1 or 2 pounds. That could be really discouraging with the amount of effort and work, but I don't think so. But it could. What I'm really curious about, what it could do, because I've never come from this. How do you say this? Like,
well, you've never come into this with that much muscle memory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you've done a transformation. But you didn't have, but you went beyond what you ever did before.
Yes.
Here, you're not even going to get to your in 90 days, you're not even going to hit what you did.
Right.
It's all muscle memory.
Yes.
At this point.
So this is actually very new for me.
Okay. Well, here's something objective. How's your performance and strength?
Oh, it goes up every lift.
So you're noticing big changes.
Yeah. There. But remember too, like, and this is what I try to communicate to the audience is that, man, I started at 135 squats, 135 deadlifts, you know, dumbbell pressing 45 pound dumbbells. Like, I really didn't need to do much at all. And each week I've just incrementally moved up. The biggest thing that's frustrating, and I can, because my physique is changing now and I can actually see visible change and like it's starting to come together. My chest is one of my, you know, it's a big muscle. And so to not be training it is really
the tear.
Yeah. Now, like, it didn't.
Are you able to do anything?
So I'm gonna start today. I'm gonna do some band work.
Oh yeah.
So I completely took off all of last week. So I've had almost 10 full days of nothing at all after the kind of scare. I've been hitting the BPC and the TB 500 like crazy. The next thing is this week I'm gonna introduce bands, and right now Katrina's really working. So I've got this like ball. It just feels like a ball of tissue that moves around. And I know that's what's restricting me right now. And so I got to just get, she had the hot stones on me last night.
I wonder if you tore your pec minor. Because you wouldn't see it that much if you tore pec minor. You would see it when you flex. You might have a little divot. coming in.
Yeah, it is a little bit like a little bit of a divot right there. So and now it's like a, you know, like I said, like a ball of like scar tissue that I'm dealing with right now.
A torn pec minor. That'd be crazy.
You know, it's so funny. Like people ask me like, oh, have you had to go? Like, I'm afraid to go to the doctor because I don't want to hear. Yeah, I don't want to hear what they have to say. I'm going to try and solve this myself first because I don't want to be told that, dude. I don't want to, I don't want them to try and tell me like, oh, it's this.
So that you surgery.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that. Like I'm determined to work around it. I mean, the positive thing for the audience is that it's real shit, right? It's like, you know, it's like I'm not in the perfect scenario. It's so, you know, hey, people have to work with and around injuries a lot of times. I'm dealing with that right now. It's definitely the frustrating part is like, you know, being able to hit my chest is just with the amount of muscle I've lost is a huge not being able to is a huge disadvantage.
So you're doing BPC 157. You're doing thymus and beta for recovery. Are you supplementing with like magnesium at night to help with like the muscle recovery?
So I'm almost always, I mean, Mellow is like a staple supplement. And that's, and I guess I should probably cover some things. I keep forgetting to talk about, I don't count, like I've been telling the audience, like if I'm doing any sort of peptides, I had a whole episode the other day where I broke down my hormone therapy and like, so I'm trying to be as transparent about everything that I do as possible. I'm documenting all the food. There's things like vitamin D, like magnesium, like the Mellow product. Like there's certain things that I just,
they're always in.
Yeah. I need it. Like I'm deficient in magnesium. I'm deficient in vitamin D. So I don't count that as like a, hey, I'm getting ready for this.
Along those lines, just a little teaching opportunity for the audience. There's estimates, but probably about 60% of people are deficient in magnesium. And a lot of people don't know what the symptoms of magnesium deficiency are. Anxiety, depression, and insomnia. Those are the most common.
Wow.
Those are the most common side effects of a magnesium deficiency. So if you're like, why am I feeling anxious or why is it hard to sleep? Like what's going on? You might be one of the 40% that all you'd have to do is take a well-absorbable magnesium supplement. There's different versions. Mellow is the one that we work with from Ned. Supplement with that. And the good news is you'll know probably within the first time you take it, If it's anxiety or insomnia.
I knew it right away. It was like obvious. That's why when people ask me like, oh, what do you think about this product or that? I said, well, listen, with something like magnesium, if you're deficient in it and you take it, there's no question if it's working. Like you'll be able to tell like instantly. The first night you take it, you will get some of the best sleep you've ever had. And to me, it's a 50-50 shot. That's how many people are deficient in it that you could be one of those. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're somebody who's totally fine on magnesium and then you take it and you're like, oh, I don't really notice that big of a difference. Okay, no big deal. But for people that are deficient in that and then you supplement with that, it makes that big of a difference where it's like, oh God, yeah. I knew it right away as soon as I took it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So this weekend, I learned about some of the ancient languages. This was at church and they were talking about how they describe different things. And I didn't realize this. So English language isn't nearly as descriptive of certain things as some ancient languages. Like, for example, like the word love, there's different words for love in some of the ancient languages. A lot of people don't know this. There's like love for your partner, love for your friends. Before. And then there's what's called sacrificial love, where you don't have the feeling of it, but you sacrifice yourself for them. It's called agape, right? They have different words for time too. This one was crazy to me. Chronos is the amount of time, like 60 seconds. Kairos is quality time. So they actually had two different words to describe. I thought that's so fascinating that, and you know, language shapes ideas and thoughts and behaviors. A lot of people don't realize this. Like words make a big difference in how you perceive the world.
Sure.
I wonder how detrimental it's been that we don't describe, because for example, the three definitions of love, like you can understand, like if I say, passionate love for your partner, like, oh, I know what that's like. Love you have for your friend, like, yeah, I know what that is. And then the kind of love that's totally sacrificial. They're not the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we don't have words to describe that. I thought that was really fascinating, especially the time one.
Are there things that you guys are doing? I know this is for kind of where we're all at in our lives. We've shared this many times about, you know, being ultra present and quality time with the family. Do you find that there are things that you guys have, like, implemented or that you go out of your, like, this is like a thing that like, okay, I want to improve being present or I want to improve quality time with my family. Therefore, this is going to become a thing that we either do daily or weekly or monthly, even like, have you guys created things like that? Or are there things like, you know, that come to mind that you're like, you know, I know Justin used to talk a lot about, and I know you're really good about the phone thing, right? It's like, hey, well, I come home from work and the phone goes up on the thing. Yeah. Like, I can never get a hold of you past 6 o'clock. So yeah. Kudos to you being a better dad than me.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I miss all the
so, you know, that's, action. But I mean, that's a practice of that. Are there things like that you guys have done to do that?
I started implementing stuff with my older kids because they're teenagers are hard to, like little kids, it's easy to like spend time with them because it's like, you want to hang out? Yes. My teenage kids, it's more difficult. So I've started scheduling it. Well, two things. One is my 15-year-old, when she's in her room, I'll knock on the door, walk in the room, and then stay in her space with her. And I notice that spurs conversation rather than trying to get her to come out.
Just hanging out. There's no just like, hey, daddy wants to talk to you.
No, just I just come sit down, right sit on her bed. Hey, what are you doing? Thing. Oh, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I'll just sit there and, you know, and then the conversation starts. And then the other one's scheduling time. If I don't schedule time, then it's up missing because like I'm doing homework or I'm doing this thing or I'm going to work. So I'm like, this time, this day, you and I are going to go on a hike or whatever. And it's like, cool. So it's on the schedule. So it has to be more intentional.
Do you find that they do it kind of begrudgingly because my dad's telling me I have to do it? Or do you find that they're excited to do
it? Yeah, I think especially when we schedule something that they want to do. Cool. They seem to be okay with it, you know. Although sometimes you'll feel like they don't want to hang around with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the it's teenagers in general.
Yeah, for me, it's really, it's like it's a lot of that in terms of just going into their own environment and yeah, like I'll go sit in their room and just kind of wait for them to tell me things and like it reveal itself. And for me, it's like I find these opportunities where they're passionate about something. And then I try to think about that ahead of time, find a book or find, you know, something that is relevant towards that. Like, for instance, right now, Ethan's really into entrepreneurship. He's like diving in like full
that's so cool
deep into it, like trying to create his own like brand and his own the you know the kind of business we all hate, which yeah. is, you know, like merchandise and selling t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. But so I got him a few books with that and we kind of talk about it and he's like kind of getting into stocks and all that kind of stuff. That's and awesome. Then, you know, Everett's like really into skateboarding and so I'll just take opportunities. I'll take them down to the skate park. It's just, it's really, it's like, I know what they're kind of what's driving them right now. And so I want to like intentionally take them, you know, and immerse them in something or like teach yeah. them something or, you know,
but you got to step into
that they space. Like, yeah. yeah. But you have to find out what they like in order to kind of build that conversation.
Now, how important do you guys think it is that you also do this for yourself? Yeah. So like, obviously we're dads, we care about being a good dad. I think we're always constantly working on that. How much do you think is also important that you find something for you? Completely selfish, nobody else, it's your thing, it's what you do. And like, yeah. do you also schedule that and make time for that?
That's super important.
Yeah.
That's my workouts. That's first and foremost. And then twice a week I do, there's a men's group that I go to. And then once a week I'll go and just go meditate on these days it's a lot of scripture, but it'd be thinking about things. It's super important because otherwise you're in the mix.
Yeah.
This is how I find it. I get in the mix and I don't know. I'm not the same person, especially when I come back from something like that. I'm like a totally different person. I think it's important.
Yeah. I'm probably the worst at that. Like, yeah, to be completely honest, because I get too focused like on the balance and the semblance of like the family dynamic and like, oh, what are the kids doing? What's, you know, how am I deficient here helping Courtney out or whatever it is? And then I'm like, God, I don't have any friends. I haven't hung out with anybody. I'm not like, you know, doing anything that I'm passionate about as much. But yeah. then I've tried to start making steps in that direction. And I'm like, music's a big avenue for me with that. And so I'm like kind of scheduling things. But it's like, it's a lot less frequent than me probably stepping into everybody else's thing.
So that's an area
I need to work on that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've seen you do stuff like that more recent than before. Like you're getting ready to come up on your trip where you always go, like that was something that you've made. Yeah. Like that's a non-negotiable.
Like the only thing I have probably I could say, like I'm doing this every year if I have to.
Have you guys seen the stats on men's groups? Like how big of an impact they make for men? Because men are terrible at, especially when we hit our like middle age, terrible at making friends.
Yeah.
Like we just don't do it.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, women tend to have more social connections than men do. So when you look at the data on men's groups, you know, like once a week you meet up with your buddies and you guys go and do this thing, or especially if it's purpose driven, not just hang out, but like, we're all going to go and work on this car, or mm-hmm. we're all going to go. And like, I go to a group called Better Man, where you learn how to become a better man. It's based on Christian values. It's the data on it's amazing. Like I think it's because we don't do it otherwise. If we don't schedule it, ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, no, I think it's funny in our relationship. It's actually the flip with Katrina and I. I'm always having to tell her like to go do that. As much as of a social friendly person she is, she doesn't take that much time.
Not even with her family. She's got such a big family.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, would you count that as the same thing? Because I don't know if I would count that as the same thing.
It does something. She's got such a close relationship.
Incredibly. I mean, not a day goes by.
That's probably why she doesn't feel like she needs it.
Yeah, I don't think she thinks she needs it. Yeah. You know, I think that she does. She gets so much probably of that from her family. But yeah, I'd say in our household, the roles are reversed in that area. I'm always doing stuff with making new friends and mm-hmm. hanging out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was again this weekend with meeting new groups of people and doing stuff like that.
There's a lot of this right now is with the car culture, right? That's where you meet a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's like, whatever's like, you know, we're all very similar in this way where when we're into something new, like we completely, we're into it and fully immersed. And so, you know, to me, that's the easiest way to teach somebody to, if you're an older dad or man and you're trying to foster that is, step one is you having a hobby helps, right? Having mm-hmm. things that you're into, you know, I know Doug's into the calligraphy and the Japanese art and things like that. I'm sure when he goes to those things, he meets people that are, you have good conversation with and so that's the key is like, first have something you care about and you like doing that you're passionate about and interested in. And then immerse yourself in those types of hobbies on the weekend, going out of your way to go do that stuff. And then that's how you, you meet other men that have similar, you know, passions and things. So I've always done that.
This is why Arthur Brooks talks about how, widows do so much better than widowers. I guess a widower is a man who's his wife. He said the data on men who lose their wife is terrible because they have no like social anything. So it's just alone.
I also think that men too are so, and again, this we're overgeneralizing by saying men.
Like, of course, but this is just the data.
Right. Yeah. But typically are horrible at asking for help or directions. You know what I'm saying? All so now all of a sudden the wife is gone and it's like, all of a sudden you got to figure shit out. It's like, you have to go ask or tell people you don't know or you need help.
You
like,
become a hermit. You named it. I've known widowers and they tend to be hermits.
100%.
Funny. I just speaking of men and guys and stuff, I ran into this kid who I knew him when he was little. So his dad was a friend of mine, and apparently he's been following us through Mind Pump. He texted me a while ago, hey, this is so-and-so's son, I'm into working out now. So I'm like, oh, that's so cool. So I sent him some, you know, some of our supplement Overstock in the back, and I said, hey, what program do you want? I'll set you up with a program. So he's been following, he's getting into jiu-jitsu. Anyway, I ran into him and he's like, he really likes it. He wants to become maybe like a personal trainer. I pointed him, I said, all right. Yeah, and so I said, all right, good place to start. It's like we talk about on the show. I said, start at a big box gym because they'll do a lot of you'll learn a lot of how to build your business through them. Mm-hmm. They'll provide you with the leads. You got people working out that you can talk to. You'll learn a lot from lots of other trainers. And so he needed a national cert. So I said, go to NASM. I sent him our link. And I told him to go, you know, obviously first get CPT, but then get the correctional exercise specialist one. So we were talking about all that. And yeah, it was really cool. See his kid grow up and now he wants to be a trainer.
Oh, that is great.
Because he listens to the show.
NASM is such a great foundation. And there's tons of great certs, but NASM, I think, is just one of the most well-rounded certs. If I was going to tell someone just to, like, they'd have no certs, go start there. And then I always say that the corrective exercise specialist.
That was the game changer, sir.
It is another level, though. I tell you what, like
it ain't easy.
Yeah, you need to really understand their CPT really well because they build on it in CES. Mm-hmm. It's like they assume you know all that information. Mm-hmm. And so you definitely want to get the first one really, really, really.
Had I known that correctional exercise from a trainer's perspective, okay, so if you're a trainer listening, like there's almost nothing that will make you more money faster and bring more value to your people than correctional exercise knowledge.
Hands down.
Nothing
not close.
Mm-hmm. It's not exercise performance. That's fun. It's not powerlifting. That's cool. It's not building muscle. That's fun too and cool too. It's literally correctional exercise.
It applies
the most valuable thing.
It applies to everybody. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can improve anybody.
Even deal with pain, even restriction.
Even when I thought I was going to be a trainer who's going to train athletes when I was a kid, when I was dreaming, the amount of, I mean, have you guys ever met a retired athlete or someone who is an athlete who doesn't have all kinds of dysfunction and out of balance? Yeah. And so impossible. Like, even that, like, I wish I really understood correctional exercise on that capacity and what it has done for me personally, solving my own problems out, being able to help clients. It applies to every range, no matter their age, no matter their skill set, no matter their level of training. Like, yeah, I don't know why that's not like hammered more.
Because I think trainers tend to get into fitness and they think fat loss, health, muscle building, and correctional exercise is more like a rehab.
I think you said it right. The first thing, fat loss. I think that's all. Yeah. I mean, that's 65.
That's what gets them in the door.
When I sold training as a trainer early days, and I was a good salesman. Okay. I've always been a good salesman. It's a natural thing for me. But what I sold was fat loss and muscle building. When I learned correctional exercise. So here's the difference. If I do an assessment on somebody, I can sell you on the fact that you're going to burn body fat and build muscle with me, but I can't show you that. It's one assessment. It's impossible. I'm not going to show you fat loss or muscle building. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
But I could show you pain relief in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I could show you pain relief right now with correctional exercise. And when I did that, if I had someone in front of me, their shoulder hurt or they couldn't squat all the way down because their heels would come up or something like that, then we do some correctional exercise. And then I'd show them right there, like, oh my God, my shoulder doesn't hurt nearly as much. Done. It was like a guaranteed they're going to hire me because I just showed them my value right out the gates. That alone for trainers, like that alone everything. Everything.
Huge,
everything.
Huge difference. You know, speaking of trainers and helping trainers, Doug, when is the next webinar that Sal and I are doing and what is the title of it? You know, this is something for our audience. We really didn't announce
free education
for training. We didn't announce it on the last one. And we had a nice showing. I think we had a few, over 1,000, I think 1,500 people signed up for it. A few hundred, I think, signed up for the live. And then, of course, over the course of the week, because once you sign up, you get the replay, even if you can't make the live event. But it's absolutely free. There's no charge to it. Every other month, Sal and I will be hosting these webinars, and really they'll have different titles. Some of them will be, the last one we did was how to build a six-figure business as a personal trainer. It's really geared around being a better coach, trainer, building your business. And we're just going to make this a consistent thing. We're just going to just, again, come from this place of let's just continue to add value to the coaches and trainers, making them better. It's free for people to show up. You just sign up for the webinar. Even if you can't make the live event, it'll be emailed to you. What's the next one, Doug?
November 12th at 4 p.m. Pacific. The key for personal trainers to retain clients during the holiday season.
Oh, yeah. So that'll be the topic. We're going to literally talk about how, so for trainers, during the holiday season, this is a time when sometimes you lose clients. So we're going to talk about how to keep them and how to get more clients. That's the slowest time in fitness, by the way. If you manage a gym or train people, it's like, this can be really, really tough on your business. But there are strategies that will make you as successful or more successful during the holiday season.
It's kind of cool because
where do you sign up for this? Can they sign up now or no? They just have to kind of
stay. So there will be notifications in the free trainer forum, which is Personal Trainer Growth Secrets.
Oh, so just
powered
go
by
there.
Mind Pump. You'll see all the replays, for example, as well as future events.
That's the Facebook group.
That's the Facebook
group. So go join that Facebook group, also free.
Personal Trainer Growth Secrets.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's us.
And if you're following the Mind Pump Trainer page on IG, you're going to get notifications on all this stuff. So just make sure you follow and then turn on the notifications. What's been really cool and interesting for me. So those people that have been listening for a really long time, prior to Mind Pump, the four of us never worked together. Although we have a similar background, we all worked for the same company at one point. We all didn't get a chance to work together. Justin and I have worked together. And I guess you could say Doug and Sal at some capacity worked together before we all got together. But I've always thought about, man, imagine if the four of us were together in a club, 15, 20 years ago. Like,
running
man,
a club?
Yeah.
Oh,
man,
that would be crazy. Do you know I fantasize about that?
I do. I think about that. And,
I do. I swear to God.
And complete transparency that this has kind of lit that fire in me because it's the closest thing to kind of like what I did when I ran clubs, right? Yeah. So I know you GM, you did both fitness manager and GM. And so you handled a lot of the sales and people and stuff and the sales team, which I did also. And I think we both, even though we had different departments, we cross-pollinated a lot with the other department. So to have us both kind of mentoring these groups of people coming through, man, it's so funny. Like a couple times I've been like, oh man, shit, I haven't even prepared for that webinar. It's like, oh, I'll be okay. It's I know the topic. We'll be, and it just, it reignites this. It
spurs all these memories.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I find myself like, oh hey, shit.
The hour comes up so fast.
Real fast. Because this is what, this is what I did most of my career. This is what I love to do. Like I've never, you know, I've never hung my hat on, I'm one of the best trainers in the world. By no means do I think I'm that person at all. I think it's also why I've also been challenged with social media and YouTube is like, I don't like putting myself out there as like, I'm one of these experts. Like what made me successful in fitness was my business acumen. I was decent at that and got better at that through my 20s. I was an okay trainer, you know, I wasn't the brightest trainer ever. And so this is more my wheelhouse of helping trainers build their business. And so it's reignited that fire.
It's funny you said that about running a club. I often fantasize. The only reason why we would never do it is the amount of hours and time and energy it would take.
Me and Kyle are actually talking about that a bit because still like thinking of things to kind of shoot that would be good. Great content. And it's like, you know, to come in and do kind of gym overhaul kind of thing.
That's my dream.
Like Sal's been chomping at this idea.
I would love to do a gym rescue where we go in and in 30 days, turn it around.
Totally.
It would be made for TV.
The gym. It'd be great content.
I'd have some of those old school sales meetings that you can't do anymore because you get fired. We can do it because it's a show. You know,
type of deal. Just have signed waivers. Yeah. I can get crazy and throw chairs.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Dude. Yeah.
I would love to. I mean,
it'd be fun. Man.
So I didn't know this was going to ignite that. So I'm really excited. I mean, we're getting ready to wrap up, or we're coming into, I should say, not wrap up, but come into Q4 and wrap this year up for this launching this business. And you know, all in all, a couple of hiccups with hires and stuff like that. But now that we've got it all ironed out, I feel like, boy, this thing is running on all cylinders and a blast. I think we've really figured out the best way to impact these coaches and trainers. And that's really kind of the mission behind this is like, I kind of, you know, there's that piece of me that has that, like, I want to be able to have a bunch of trainers that we've influenced that becomes a standard that people ask, like, oh, have you been coached by the Mind Pump? Do you have a cert? Did you go through there? Like, I want to create a culture around the trainers that come through this course and learn from us. And it starts by us providing all this stuff for free and showing everybody what we can add as far as value to their business. And then we'll take it from there.
It's fun, man.
It is.
I love trainers. Always, always, always will love trainers. They're the best people in the fitness space.
Keeps us grounded. Yeah,
by
sure.
far. Yeah. I have a shout out for the end of the show.
Good. Let's hear it.
Do it.
So it's a book that I'm reading, right? This is one of the groups that I'm a part of. It's called Marriage That Works. And it talks about, from a biblical perspective, how to have a successful marriage. What's crazy about the book, it's by Chip Ingram, which I think you know.
He's my pastor growing up, yep.
So the book is, I mean, it's amazing to me because, obviously, the way we define marriage traditionally, right, one man, one woman, that was created, that's a Judeo-Christian creation, essentially. And they also have a blueprint for how it's supposed to work. So it makes sense that, well, they created it. Why not look at their blueprint? And it's so opposite. It's so opposite of what the culture and world tells you that everything I'm hearing and reading in there.
Yep.
And
very countercultural.
The reason why to me it's so exciting is because I understand a space in the world that is like that as well, which is health and fitness. I've often said this. If you follow what the culture and the world tells you is healthy, if you live the way that they tell you, you will be sick, fat, and unhealthy. It's just a fact. It's oftentimes the opposite of what they tell you that's going to make you healthy. Well, of course, it's like this with marriage as well. The culture tells you to do it a certain way, and we have a, 50% divorce rate? So I'll tell you one thing that was in the book that's just crazy. You know, traditional marriage therapy or counseling or whatever or culture will say, when you get married, find out how to express your needs. Make sure your partner can meet your needs by expressing them so that they can meet your need. You guys meet each other's needs or whatever. That's not at all what the biblical perspective says. The biblical perspective says your goal is to meet all of their needs, to submit to them and meet all of their needs, and becomes competition over who can meet the other person's needs more. So it's all about that agape love,
serving the other person,
sacrificial love, which is pretty wild. Yeah. Totally opposite of what you've heard from the culture. Anyway, there's a lot of other stuff in there that's pretty wild.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
Elemented is an electrolyte powder. It's high in sodium. It's high enough in sodium. In fact, most electrolyte powders don't have enough. that is not artificially flavored. There's no artificial sweeteners. There's also no sugar. It just tastes real good, and it gives you the electrolytes you need for better workouts, for better sleep, better pumps, especially if you're on a ketogenic diet or you don't eat a diet that's high in heavily processed foods. This can be a game changer. Anyway, go to their link, go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump. You'll get a free sample pack on that link with any drink mix purchase. All right, back to the show.
Our first caller is Nadine from Toronto.
Hi, Nadine.
Hey, Nadine.
How can we help you?
Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right.
So nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Okay, I'm just going to jump right into my question. So I've gotten 3 DEXA scans since last August. I've gotten one in August, November, and May of 2024. In between the first and second DEXA, which were 3 months apart, I gained 1 pound of fat and 4 pounds of muscle. And the DEXA that I took today, which was the one that I sent in May, it showed that I gained 1 pound of fat and gained no new lean mass. The DEXA scan is very detailed and shows where the lean mass and fat mass is distributed. It also shows the relative skeletal muscle index, which basically tells me how dense my muscles are. And that only went up by 0.02. In the last 5 months, I had some weight fluctuations and have started a cut with 1750. And it's been 4 weeks at the time when I sent in my question. I've noticed some shrinkage in my stomach. Also, that was confirmed based on my DEXA. And I've noticed that my shoulders have gotten leaner. And that has been my priority the last 2 months. Even though the numbers did not reflect that, I work out 4 to 5 times a week, and I usually meet my protein intake based on my tracking, based on those 4 weeks that I was doing my cut. I'm not sure what I should do next and whether I should change my workout routine. I was thinking of working out 3 times a week consistently, getting my 10K steps, and incorporating a kickboxing class once a week for a new stimulus. Just a bit of background. I have scrawny arms. Okay. They're very scrawny. I'm trying to get them bigger. That has been my focus forever. I have big thighs, small waist, small upper body, and I'm just trying to get the opposite of that. I tried MAPS Anabolic for a little bit, but it just didn't really resonate with me because the workouts were taking too long. And I just find that I need like a workout a day rather than just doing mini trigger sessions. Now I've been doing kickboxing. I've noticed some strength gains in my upper body, but I don't know if what I'm doing is right because I haven't gotten a DEXA. I just feel like I look better, but I don't look toned enough. Like it looks like I don't work out when you look at me.
When was the last time you reverse dieted?
So I just got back from vacation, and the last time I did that was, I don't even know if I've ever reverse dieted. Like, do you mean?
So right away, what comes to mind for me is that you're in this kind of maintenance to deficit place, and you're trying to build muscle in your upper body, and it's just not happening. You're not giving, and then what you're doing is you're adding cardio to it on top of that. It's just working against you, your goal. Our goal right now should be to build muscle and to increase your calories. So I'd like to see you on 18, 19, and then to 2000 to 22 to 23, eventually get you up to like 2400 to 2600 calories a day. And then we reverse and come back down. And so the initial goal is for us to increase calories, build muscle. You want to just a little bit. We don't want to put on 10 pounds or 15 pounds on the scale, but going up 3-5 pounds, not a big deal, because we're trying to build and focus on building muscle. After we've done that for like a month or so, then we can reverse for a little bit and then lean out a tiny bit and then turn around and do it again. And just keep doing that, you know, bulk reverse diet to a cut for a short period of time, then back into it until you get to a place where you can maintain your mass or maintain your size and eating 2,400 calories a day. Like, that's where we need to be.
Do you remember what your body fat percentage was from your last scan?
Yes, it was 27.2%. I had about 35 pounds of fat, and
that's crazy. You don't look like that.
I know.
Yeah, you don't look like that.
I think I had, I can pull it up, but it was 35 pounds of fat basically. And the rest was all like lean muscle.
Okay. And then in that period of time, the last 2 tests, right? The one where you said you just gained a pound of fat and nothing else. Did you notice any other changes? Any strength gains? Any stamina gains?
I definitely noticed strength gains, and I was going up in my upper body stuff. So I was doing push presses, bicep curls, shoulder presses, all of that was going up, but it just,
how much did it go up?
Probably 5 pounds per side, honestly, like in my, okay. in, 5 pounds for my bicep curl, and I think it went up to 10 pounds with my push press.
Wow. Okay. So, which one do you believe, the strength gains or the DEXA scan?
Yeah.
My strength gains.
Yeah. So which one is more objective, right? So in other words, if I take 5 pounds and I have a 5 pound plate and I weigh it here, or I weigh it in Toronto, or I weigh it in Florida, how much is it going to weigh everywhere? 5 pounds. That's about as objective as it gets. Your strength gains are clear. DEXA scan, not clear. 1 pound up or down, there's a margin of error there that's definitely larger than the 1 pound that you saw on that one test. The problem is we tend to believe the scale and we tend to believe these tests more than we believe our own objective minds. You got stronger. That means you're moving in the right direction. The DEXA scan says you know what it said, but I would look at the DEXA scan, look in the mirror, look at my weight, you know, going up, and be like, okay, I think I'll wait till I take another 2 or 3 DEXA scans before I start to take it more seriously.
Nadine, are you following my docuseries right now?
No, I've been on vacation the last few weeks, so I have not seen anything.
Okay, so you absolutely need to do that. So you need to get caught up on YouTube on the, and I'm daily posting, and this is yesterday's rant I went on. So if you go to my Instagram right now, you'll see a rant on there is addressing this issue here. Overnight, okay, I got on the scale and I put 6 pounds on overnight, and I explain what happened physiologically. And then I also explain what's going on psychologically to me, like, oh shit, I got fat. I did this one. And so I go through all this. So it's very similar to what's going through your head right now when you see that, oh my God, the DEXA scan isn't moving in the right directions yet. I feel like I'm doing all these right things. Like, watch that. So watch the rant I went on last night, and then get back on the YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV, and start to watch that docuseries, because I'm going to document this whole process. And literally what I'm doing is kind of what I would coach you to do right now, which is slowly increasing calories, get stronger. I'm going to build my metabolism up, and then I'm going to shred and come down. And so you could follow literally what I'm doing.
I have 2 follow-up questions for that then. Sure. Then for somebody who, I guess, like anabolic, it wasn't like I wasn't the best person for it, what would you recommend the split to be? Because I'm doing kickboxing, just I'm doing it for fun, and I'm doing it for cardio, just for once a week, just for heart health. And I want to keep doing that. But what do you think the best split would be for somebody who wants to work out an hour a day 4 or 5 times a week?
An hour a day, like 4 or 5 times a week?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's probably too much.
Plus with your cardio, that's a lot.
That's probably going to be too much.
I'd rather see you on MAPS 15. That's what I'm running right now. Mm-hmm. It's MAPS 15. Two exercises a day, 6 days a week.
It'd be about 20 minutes. 25 minutes.
It takes
minutes
about
a day.
30. Takes like 25.
Am I going to get jacked from that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could watch.
Yeah.
You can watch. That's my point.
Let me put it this way. You're more likely to get jacked doing that than you are doing an hour 4 or 5 days a week in the gym. Yeah. You're unlikely to get jacked doing an hour 4 or 5 days a week in the gym.
I think just please do me this one thing in the next 24 to 48 hours, get caught up on the docuseries. So much of what we're talking about right now is stuff that I cover. I cover all this, like, and you're watching me kind of build and start, and I'm having conversations with you through the workout, like explaining why this, why not that. I think it'll really help where you're currently at right now.
The other option would be like MAPS Muscle Mommy, which is 4 days a week, I believe. The workouts are a bit longer. You could also do something like that, but I would not do a MAPS aesthetic or MAPS split for most people. No. For most people, that's just, it's too much. And then what you end up going backwards. You end up going backwards with your results. So MAPS 15 or MAPS Muscle Mommy would be more appropriate for someone like you with a slow reverse diet. And then watch your strength gains. If you're getting stronger in your upper body, it's exactly the right direction. That's what you want. Because as the strength gains come, so does the muscle. Sorry.
You know what I worry about? I always worry about that when I'm putting on pounds on my upper body stuff, I'm cheating and using my lower body to help like get that bicep curl up. And I'm trying to be so aware of it, but I'm just always worried that that's the case. Like, how do I know whether I'm cheating my way into?
You're going to love that. I cover that in the docuseries also.
Yeah. But also if it's a question, okay. If it's a question, you're fine. When you're cheating, you know, like it's clear, like, oh, that was cheating. It's not like, I wonder if I did something a little different to get an extra 10 pounds up. No, to get 10 more pounds up through cheating is obvious. To get 10 more pounds up through strength is, you would question yourself afterwards if that was the case. So I'm not worried about that, but you can always film yourself. You can always film yourself, compare the two videos. And then if it's hard for you to see it, then you're fine.
I also give tips in there on things that you can do strategically while you lift to keep yourself from cheating. So that's literally in there too.
Perfect. So just, I guess I have to watch this.
Just watch it. I think it's going to answer a lot of questions for you. I would prefer you on Mat 15, but I'm not against Muscle Mommy either. So we can shoot either one over
to you. Which one you want?
Which one? I think I would rather Muscle Mommy as opposed to.
Okay.
Okay.
Spend the time at the gym.
Yeah, we'll send it to you.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you got it. And stop believing the DEXA scan over everything else. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Honestly, I just needed to hear you guys say it because the last 4 months I've just been in a whirlwind. So I'm happy to hear you guys say it because you're the only people I listen to in this industry. Thank you.
We got you. Yeah. I'll see you on YouTube.
Thank you, Nadine.
All right. I'll see you. Bye, guys.
Yeah, I just got to say this. If you tie your life quality, your happiness, your contentment to a DEXA scan or a body fat test or the scale, you have a problem. Mm. And you need to address it because the other side of that, if you don't address that, here's the problem. You will never find contentment. You will never find happiness. You will never find improvement in quality of life from those things. They're just never going to do that for you. They're
not going to tell the whole story.
They will always let you down. Always, always let you down. Because even if you get the measurements you want, you're still going to question it. And then if it goes in the wrong direction, forget about it. So those are tools to be used in a nice blend of data to look at. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I trained clients the last 10 years of my career, I weighed nobody. I tested body fat tests so rarely. It was, I had clients that were with me for years and I didn't do a body fat test because it was mostly a waste of time. Yeah. Not only that, but it just did this. It caused problems. It would set people back.
It detract their progress and their momentum.
Yeah. I think everybody approaches these the wrong way. It's actually, you guys know I'm obviously the one who likes all this stuff. I utilize this as a tool. And I used to use it with the clients too, but there was a lot of conversations around this and it's not the end all be all. It's just another tool that we have to get an idea of what we're doing. To me, it's very obvious what's going on here. She's too low of calories. She's trying to build muscle in her upper body.
Yeah.
And she's probably, and I talk about all this stuff, she's probably toggling back and forth with getting her body just what it needs to days where she's not getting enough what she needs while also adding all this volume and stuff. And then it's like, she's for all the work. And I get it because it's frustrating, right? You think you're doing such a good job because you're, let's say for 90% of the time, you're making really good food choices, you're exercising 4 days a week, you want to see the return on it. And then you go take this test that everybody talks about how accurate it is. And you go, oh my God, I'm doing not, why am I putting all this work in to see no change? And it's, there's something that we need to tweak. And what it is where her calories are at for what she's trying to accomplish is just not working.
Why I like putting people on the path of just monitoring the strength because you just saw it right there. My strength went up, but my DEXA scan said I went up a pound of body fat. So I'm sad. It's you got stronger. That's the best metric there is. If you had to pick a single metric, that would be the one.
Well, yeah, we just hope that there's these formulas that can explain everything. And I think that's the hope that we have going into it. It is it brings awareness, but it's not going to ever tell you all the things. This is why you have to really listen to your body and be objective with what's actually happening.
Our next caller is Kara from Maryland.
Hi, Kara. How can we help you?
Hello.
It's weird to see you guys in person because I only listen on the podcast through audio, never see you guys in person. So pretty cool.
I hope you're happy or not disappointed.
Well, I've seen you individually, the Prime Pro webinars, okay. Justin, you on maybe Ben Greenfield's podcast, etc. So I've never not seen you guys, but it's just the setup I've never seen before. Right, cool. So
how can we help you?
Yeah, so I'm going to read my question. And first of all, thank you for entertaining me every time I work out because it is really just fun to listen to you guys talk. And I'm a nutritionist, so I'd love to hear your advice that you give out on nutrition as well.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. So each sport I've done, I've incurred a pull on my glute at the point where the glute and ham meet and they connect. And right now I'm big into competing in singles pickleball and doubles as well. So a lot of times it's reaching out to lunge for a ball in a very fast manner and then springing back up. So I've been lifting weights consistently since 1988. and do yoga for stretching probably a few days, like 3 or 4 times a week. I started MAPS Anabolic Advanced in the past. I've done MAPS Aesthetic and some female physique type programs. You talk about different planes of motion. And so I'm wondering, is it that all the programs I've done in the past are in one plane? And if so, which program or preventative exercises do you think would be beneficial?
Okay, let's back up for a second. So it's probably your hamstring attachment where you're feeling the pain. So if it's up where the glute and the hamstring meet, so it's like deep up in that, yeah, it's probably your hamstring. It's probably not a glute pull, although glute pulls are not impossible. They're far less common than hamstring pulls. And you're saying this is when you're doing like a reach, right? Like you reach out with your foot and you kind of get down in a deep lunge.
Yeah. So I'm like lunging out deep for the ball and I like reach out for it. And then as soon as I spring back up, I'm feeling like I, you know, a little tweak here and there. Yeah. It's never something that like it puts me completely out where I can't play a sport or something like that. But I definitely feel like there's something going on.
MAPS performance.
Yeah. So a repeated injury in the same spot typically points to some type of an instability or a strength imbalance. Okay. So an example would be every time you work out your lower body, there's a range of motion that you train in and you're really strong in that range of motion. But when you get outside of that range of motion, you don't have as much strength and stability. And so when you're playing a dynamic sport or doing a dynamic movement, your muscles are strong, but you're moving outside of the range of motion they're used to training in. So trying to explode or move quickly outside of that range of motion can result in injury. So first thing I would look at would be your range of motion when you do exercises like Romanian deadlifts, single leg deadlifts, squats, barbell squats, those types of things. Are you using a full range of motion? If not, I'd go lighter and use a more full range of, and pause at the bottom. I'd pause at the bottom with tension. And then I would look at hip stability. So if you're not doing any lateral strengthening, any hip mobility movements like the ones you'll see in Prime Pro, those will be good to do kind of on a regular basis because there's obviously an imbalance. There's some kind of a strength imbalance that's occurring that's causing this repeated injury.
Well, just based on what you told us, right, in terms of like your preference of style of training and, you know, going more into the physique side and staying in that sagittal plane so everything's sort of in front and behind you, you know, it would definitely benefit you to, you know, work on lateral stability, work on lateral type exercises, you know, rotational moves. And so, I mean, it just immediately screams to me, this is why we created Performance. And this program highlights that very specifically, especially in phase two. But I think that there's a lot of people just sort of like dismiss the fact that if I'm placing my body in a very specific position, I don't really have a lot of strength stability in that position, to now add acceleration to that. You know, really leaves you susceptible to like pulls and to, you know, even further sort of issues where it may lead to injury. So, you know, not only is it beneficial for you in terms of like overall strength, but, you know, in terms of like your longevity and your pursuits with, you know, playing pickleball and all those types of activities, just to be able to regain that sort of strength and stability in like split stance positions and in these different directional movement patterns, everybody should consider this.
You really should live in 3 of our programs, MAPS Performance Advanced, and Symmetry. Those 3 programs right there, and we'll get you started on one of them. We'll send one of them to you, but based off of your goals, yeah, the activity that you do,
Symmetry would be good.
Those 3 programs are going to serve you the best, and you'll build in. I can tell you already have a really great physique already, but you'll maintain a great physique the way it looks, and then also support all the things you like doing activity wise. Those are the programs for you, and you'll get a lot of benefit from all 3 of those.
When you, by the way, yoga or yoga tiles. Now, yoga can be helpful, but in many cases, what you're doing is you're just working on flexibility, not necessarily. And I say necessarily because there are ways to do yoga that help with this, but not necessarily on strength and stability. It's a little bit more around flexibility. Improved flexibility without strength leads to instability. So if you get into a range of motion that, let's say, you can stretch to, but you don't have a lot of strength in, and then you try to move quickly out of that, it's like you're asking for an injury. When you do your lower body exercises, what does your range of motion look like?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because I recently went from a heavier squat to a lighter squat to get my hips lower, and that has made a huge difference already. So I haven't gotten too many of those tweaks during a game anymore. So that already, has helped in a big way.
Now you've been strength training for a long time. So what I would do is back way off on the weight, because otherwise you'll hurt yourself with this too. Okay. So a little word of warning, challenging your range of motion when you've been strength training a long time, your tendency is going to be to, I can do it now. Let me add weight. And then you hurt yourself. So I would go light, like way lighter, and really work on deep ranges of motion for things like squats.
Create a lot of tension in those low positions.
Yes. Lunges, Romanian deadlifts. And then pause when you feel like you're getting stronger. Rather than adding weight, pause at the bottom for 3 to 5 seconds. Hold that position, then come up controlled. We need to build strength in the stretch position. We need to build strength in the position that you're hurting yourself in. And that's not going to happen. So I'm assuming up until relatively recently, your squats were like just parallel.
Probably just a little under, but not too much under.
Yeah. So, and you've been strength training for a long time. So you're probably really strong. So then you got really strong muscles. Then you go play a game that's fast. You move outside of that range of motion. You've got all these strong muscles pushing you, but you don't have the stability in that new range of motion. And then you hurt yourself. This is how people who lift weights hurt themselves when they go to do something that's outside of what they typically train. This is why full ranges of motion and training in different planes is so important, because you could have all this great strength and stability, but the real world and stuff like that moves you out of that. And if you don't train in those other ranges of motion, then you're just a really strong person that now moved outside of your track, and then you get an injury.
Yeah. So as far as the split stance squats or the Bulgarians split stance, can't say the word. How high or how important is it to have the foot behind you? Like what height? Because I find like I'm only 5'2", so the bench seems to be really too high for me. So I put it on like one of those steps, like people do step aerobics on, and I put like a few risers under that.
Yeah, that works.
There's a good video I did on Mind Pump TV a long time ago. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV, and look up Bulgarian split squats, and it's one of the ones that I demoed. I show you how to set up with it. And I actually set the Bulgarian split squat up from the bottom position. Mm-hmm. Most people hook their leg on something and then they kind of hop into the position and they go. Right. I think it's a terrible way to set up the Bulgarian squat. So I show you how to set it up from the down position, and that's how you should judge where your foot
and
should
then,
go.
And then go down low enough to where you feel that stretch, where you feel that little point in the glute hamstring area. Like, oh, there it is. That's where I would start the rep, and I would go light. I would go light and slow down the rep and build strength there.
Okay, great. Sounds great. So is in the performance program or any of the others, do they do lateral lunges?
Yes.
Performance
is going to be.
We're gonna send you MAPS Performance, get you started. Follow that one, and then if you want afterwards, go to Performance Advanced and or Symmetry. Mm-hmm. Those are the three programs that are going to serve you so well.
Cool.
You're gonna love the Matrix lunges. Everybody does.
You're gonna love the Matrix lunges. Everybody talks about them.
Yeah, they're challenging. They're good for you though. You're gonna love them.
Never heard of them, so I'm excited.
Awesome.
All right, Kara.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Yeah, if you ever want to injure a big strong bodybuilder, you just move them outside of what he's used to doing and tell him to move fast.
Yeah.
You will hurt yourself.
The crazy part is it doesn't take much. I'm a walking example of this. So it's like, you don't even, I mean, the way I tore my pec was so embarrassing.
Look, you get a drag car that's got, 1,000 horsepower. And if you drive it straight, you're fine. Hit the gas and turn the steering wheel. What happens to that car? It flips and explodes. It's got a lot of power to move in one direction, and that makes it a liability moving outside that direction. So
if you're strong and you got, you've built quite a lot of muscle over the years, like you're way more susceptible to some of these like ranges of motion that you're unfamiliar to because of that strong, output that you have, the capacity you have for, really moving with a lot of acceleration intensity. So, if you don't have that kind of support system in place and you don't have that stability to then be able to harness that kind of power, it's really a vulnerable spot that you got to consider.
Our next caller is Amanda from Tennessee.
Amanda, what's happening?
Good morning. Thank you guys so much for having me.
How you doing?
How can we help you?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you because I found you guys several months ago and I've pretty much listened to nothing else since. I don't have anybody else in my life who focuses on fitness and nutrition like I do. So having that support and reinforcement every day is like so helpful. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Love it.
So a little bit of background. I'm 46 years old, 5'1", about 140 pounds. I've focused on nutrition and fitness for about 12 years. So I've literally done everything you can think of. If you name an exercise program, I've done it, as well as a diet program. And then after finding you guys, I realized all these years I've been doing it wrong. So it's been cardio and low calorie, and I've shifted everything. So I've upped my calories. I've been at 1200 for probably many, many years. And so, you know, trying the reverse dieting has been very scary, but I've done it. I'm up to 1400 calories a day, 120 grams of protein, then fiber, fat, carbs after that. So I feel like I'm making the changes that I need to make. It's just very frustrating to not see any of my numbers change. The weight doesn't change, and I don't focus on the weight, but I do in-body scans and try to monitor, and just nothing changes. So I'm just kind of desperate to figure out what I need to tweak and what I need to do to get moving in the right direction.
Okay. I have some insight for you, Amanda. You mind if I go through your question? Cause you wrote it in. If I go through,
yes,
some of the
stuff. Absolutely.
Okay. So you've gone through pretty much every popular diet: keto, low carb, low calorie, low fat, fasting. You've worked out every workout: Orange Theory, 9 rounds, strength training, personal training, boot camp. Doug, if you could scroll down, there was more there. let's see here. You mentioned your numbers. You said, "Hey, why am I not the best? Essentially, the epitome of what you would consider health." First off, why do you feel like you're not healthy? That's one question. And the second question I have is you went up from 1200 calories, which you said you've been at for years, up to 1400, and then the scale didn't move, or it did move?
Well, it fluctuated. But you know, I've tried to focus more on my lean muscle mass and body fat percentage. Okay. So the weight has moved up and down, but the muscle mass and the body percentage have stayed the same, even though I've really shifted the focus. I started MAPS 15. And let me address your first question. And yes, I really should probably word that better, because I am getting all of the effects, the healthy effects. I feel good. My energy is good. I feel stronger.
Good.
And I guess what I should say is when I'm not, the body fat percentage has always concerned me, because I know that's high. And when I can't get that to budge, that's what's now a little more
understandable.
Worrisome. Now, Amanda, you're saying the right things, but do you feel what you're saying? Is that how you really feel? Or are you just telling me?
Well, I really do. Supposed
to, okay, good, good. This is excellent. You said your weight fluctuated. Did that mean it went up and down a little bit and it's kind of like stable?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you went up 200 calories, which is probably scary. That's not that much, by the way, but I know it's scary for somebody that was stuck at 1200.
Well,
for a long
in the
time.
Context of somebody doing 1200, 200 is actually a decent amount.
Right. Right. Yeah. And nothing, your body weight kind of stabilized. That's a huge win.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yes, it is.
You ate 200 more cats, like a little meal you added, which was probably scary. Your body weight.
It was, but I started to realize I couldn't fit the macros. Good. Trying to make 120 grams of protein and everything else fit in 1200 calories was impossible.
Good.
That's right. That's
good. And now you've been following MAPS 15. Are you doing anything else?
So that would be my other question. So I did find back in February, I started, it is a group training facility. And I know that it is, you know, especially now that I'm listening to you guys, I understand that it's probably a little more circuit style, cardio heavy, but she does push strength and she pushes me to lift stronger. There's box work, there's, you know, free weights. So I'm trying to keep that as a sense of community, because like I said, I have no one. I have a full gym in my garage. So I'm doing MAPS 15 advanced in my garage.
How often are you doing this group workout?
Once a week, right?
So I was doing 3 to 4 times a week, 5 a.m. Like I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I know it's not giving me what I need compared to the strength training. Yeah. So I've changed it to 2 to 3
How long you been doing that for?
Oh, Amanda.
Just since February.
Oh, we're going to fix you.
Yeah, yeah. So the program.
We are going to fix
that's you. That's the problem. The group, well, yes. That's not the problem, but that's a big problem.
It is.
That group class is definitely throwing a wrench in everything.
In you have to understand, too, in the context of where we're at, right? Because yeah. I want to get, because people think like, oh my God, how could they hate on Orange Theory? It's when I got a client who has been chronically low in calories, as long as you have been, that is like one of the worst places to go. It's just, we're not ready for that. Now, maybe when I get you up to eating 2,600 calories and you feel strong and you love that community, you love that. Let me tell you, man, that's very possible.
I can't even imagine that.
I know it sounds so crazy and so far away, right?
But we've done it so many times.
It is very realistic. And the steps to get there look a little bit different than what we're doing right now. The MAPS 15, I love that. Absolutely love that. The fact that you added 200 calories, absolutely love that. But cardio classes right now in the context of where we're at calorie-wise is not supporting. And what it's probably doing is every time you probably add a couple pounds of muscle, your body pares it down because of all that extra activity for how low of calorie you are. So that's part of why you're seeing the body fat percentage stay where it's at, because you're not allowing the strength training to do what it needs to do, which is to keep packing muscle on your body.
Because you were at such low calories for so long, while simultaneously beating yourself up in the gym, your body is in a chronic panic situation. It wants to conserve calories. It has learned and had done a good job of learning how to be efficient with calories. Okay, so we can function on 1,200 calories and do these crazy workouts. We have a lot of damage control to do before we can move forward. So what that looks like is eliminating those intense workout classes, following MAPS 15. I don't care if you walk, you know, 12,000 steps a day. I love that.
Yeah, walk.
Keep that up.
I've got that in.
Good. Don't do anything else. And then slowly, this is the damage control part, slowly move your calories up. We're going to reverse diet you slowly. And here's what we're looking for. Strength gains. Are you stronger with MAPS 15? Are you lifting more weight? Are you able to do more on your deadlift, your squat, your overhead press? If you're getting stronger while you're reverse dieting and the weight on the scale isn't moving a lot, now it's going to fluctuate. But if you're not jumping 10, 15 pounds, we're good. Slowly do that. And you can interrupt it every 4 or 5 weeks with a little short low calorie, you know, 3-4 days of low calorie, and then jump back up. But
so three or 4 days.
Maybe. Yes.
Every now and then.
Yes. Like every 3-4 weeks. But stay the course on the reverse diet until we get you up to a point where we could drop you back down and then see some fat loss. But we got to get you out of this like danger state for sure.
Amanda, we're going to solve this. This is, and I love the program. We're going to solve this, and you're going to absolutely, if you like us now, you're going to love us after this. Okay. So you're going to follow MAPS 15 like you're doing. I want Doug to put you in our private forum. Okay. So now you
have, I'm already there.
Okay.
Facebook.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is what I want you to do then. Every 30 days, I just want to get an update from you, how things are going. Okay. Just give us an update on, been following MAPS 15. I cut out the cardio classes. I'm just walking every day. Give us just kind of an update where we're at. And then we'll kind of guide you through that. Calories, what am I eating every single day? We'll guide you through this process. It is a slow process. Also, if you're not doing it already, follow the docuseries that I'm doing on YouTube, because I talk a lot about this stuff. I don't know if you've seen that yet or not, but I started a docuseries on my journey of building my metabolism back up and then losing body fat. So, and I'm following MAPS 15, like that protocol. So watch that on
you. What's hard about MAPS 15 is I feel like, because I'm so used to
doing so much,
hitting it hard.
Yes, I know.
I feel like this isn't enough.
Yeah. You need to watch the docuseries. So
it's
I talk all about this psychological game of wanting to do more. I even share when I make mistakes and damn it, I did too much. I wanted to do, and shame on me. I've been doing this long. Watch that. It's on Mind Pump TV on the YouTube channel, and start to watch
now,
that series.
Now, I'm going
to
set you up with the right expectations right now, okay? Because of where you came from and how long you did that, you're going to need to give yourself a minimum of 3 months of this process. So for 3 months, at least, don't expect to lose any weight. Don't expect to get any leaner. We're just boosting your metabolism and getting stronger. So just give into that, okay? Now, the other option is to do what you were doing before, which also results in zero results. So what we're looking for is a faster metabolism. So for the next 90 days, at least, minimum, I say minimum because it could take longer, we're going to start to reverse out and correct some of this damage. And hopefully at the end of 90 days, we got you closer to 1,800, 1,900, maybe 2,000 calories. And then from there, we can figure out what we want to do. For some people, it takes longer, but it's going to be at least a 90-day period. So already just give into that. So all right, for the next 3 months,
I like having a time frame in mind, or at least a goal. I don't really know what I'm working towards right now.
Excellent.
Don't worry, we're going to help you with all that.
Now,
in with us
in that 90-day period, just look at strength, because your mind's going to play tricks on you. Everything. Oh my gosh, what's happening? I feel tight. My clothes feel tighter. I don't know. My weight went up a little bit, or maybe I should be doing more. I feel so energetic. Maybe I could go do a couple workout classes, just beat myself up a little bit. Don't succumb to it. 90 days, and then check in with us, and then we'll know where to go from there.
And you brought up something that the hardest thing for me to tell you to go away from the class is, you said something that I think is important, is that you found good community. Let us be your community. Yeah. Okay. Engage with us on the forum. Follow my, now that I've met you, okay, and I'll recognize your name. Now that I've engaged with me on the docuseries, every single day I'm posting either on my Instagram or on the YouTube channel, and I'm in there interacting with you guys. Follow that, engage with me. I'll be your community. Okay. We will, and we'll support you through this process. Hang in there. We have a lot of positive things ahead of us.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So when you say check in, do you mean like on the forum or how do you do that?
Yeah, in the forum, just every 30 days. Yeah, you tag our name, right? So you just put @ all of our personal names, right? And then we'll see it for sure if you do that. And just listen, hey guys, just letting you know, this is where I'm at. Weight's here. This is what I've done. I've got rid of the classes, blah, blah, blah. Just kind of give us an update. And also how you're feeling, psychologically, let me know. Like, hey, I'm actually feeling really good, energy moment. I know I'm not seeing a lot of movement yet, but you know what? I'm noticing strength go up. Or, man, I'm feeling discouraged. I just feel like let us know. Let me know how you're feeling so I can step you through that process as we go through this.
All right. Sounds good. I'll trust the process.
Yes. Good.
All right, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
You got it. You know, I had a client, I'll never forget. I've talked about her on the show before. She was running something like 20 something miles a week. She was strength training every single day. A lot of it was circuit based. She was also eating about 1200 calories a day. And she's just like, my body won't budge. I'm stuck at, I don't remember what her body fat percentage was at the time, 28% or something like that. She's stuck. I don't know what to do. It took us a year, a full year. Now, at the end of that year, this is where we ended up. Okay. She was doing about 3 days a week of strength training. She was doing none of the running or minimal. I think she ran a couple miles a week because she loved it. Her calories had gone from 1,200 to 2,200 calories. Her body fat percentage was 19%. And at the end of that year, she was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe how easy this is. And I was like, you were fighting your body so hard for so long. Thank you for trusting the process. Because you have to trust the process, because there's that first 3 to 6 month period where you're just not going to see much. You're going to see some strength gains. You'll feel better, but the weight on the scale isn't going to change. Am I doing the right thing? Maybe I should go back to beating myself up. And then maybe you do, and you lose a couple pounds. Now you're emboldened to go back to do what you were doing before.
Submitting to the process. That's it. It's one of the hardest things.
100%.
It's so hard, because I know that people hear us, hammer these classes. And listen, I appreciate the community side. I know that's good. And this could be a place that I would be okay with her going to, but not right now. Not in the context of I'm eating 1,200 calories. She also said, did you hear notes? She's stepping 10 to 15,000 steps a day. Mm-hmm. That's a lot already of good movement. She's training in the gym every single day. And then she's doing these classes 3 times a week. It is just you are not going. And she just now started hitting her protein intake too, by the way. So she had to increase her calories just so she could get her protein intake. Yet she's doing all this activity. So the body is starving for nutrients. She's doing all these things to tell it to build muscle, and the body's going, you're not giving me enough.
She trained her body to work on very little and to keep everything on body fat wise and to not build too much muscle to keep that metabolism slow. Yep. That's what she trained her body to do. Look, if you love the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Okay, it's official. We are very much in the final sprint to Election Day. And face it, between debates, polling releases, even court appearances, it can feel exhausting, even impossible to keep up with. I'm Brad Milkey. I'm the host of Start Here, the daily podcast from ABC News. And every morning, my team and I get you caught up on the day's news in a quick, straightforward way that's easy to understand, with just enough context so you can listen, get it, and go on with your day. So, kickstart your morning. Start smart with Start Here and ABC News, because staying informed shouldn't feel overwhelming.